The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and I washed and was able to see." And they asked, and they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay in my eyes, I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned his parents. The one who had gained his sight, they asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor we do not know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. The Jews had already agreed that if anyone had acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man was not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us." Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, that those who do not see might see, and that those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. At this point in Lent, we're treated with this extensive, beautiful, wonderful gospel here. This is from the gospel, as I announced at the beginning, from John. And this is so real. It's so human. It's like you could take this and like use it as a script in a film. I mean, you'd really have very little to have to change to make it adaptable, because it's such a communication of the way people are with each other, with God. So in that sense, it's like true to life. And John really captures that, because for one, he would have been there when all this was going, when this was happening, and he knows what the Pharisees are like, and he knows that the way they're always pushing, trying their hardest to block their heart and acknowledge nothing of what Jesus was saying, because that might have to mean that they're wrong in some way, shape, or form. And they just don't want to do that. And so there's all this back and forth. And now this gentleman, the one that was born blind, well, John would have then known him afterwards too. Like, just imagine, like, this guy is going to be a lifetime follower. And after the resurrection, after the ascension, he would have been there and John would have known him. And maybe even like 10 years later, they're reminiscing, "Yeah, do you remember that day?" And the Pharisees, they were livid mad. It was amazing. It was so cool that they just, like, our Lord just, but you could see. And tell me, remind me again, what was it like to see for the first time ever? And he'd probably even well up with tears just remembering the gift that God had given them. We're going to unpack this just a little bit more, but what I want to do is talk about an experience I had recently that ties all into this. Last week I was on retreat. I was gone for 8 days on a silent 8-day retreat. Now, by the way, down here in the front right, or front stage right, or however that works, we've been doing a 2-day silent retreat. And I just want to just congratulate all you for persevering through and dedicating an entire weekend just to prayer. And it's going to tie in exactly what I was doing for 8 days. You did a 2-day version, I did an 8-day version on this silent retreat. It's guided. There's talks that go through it, and you kind of have a preacher. I was listening to recordings to take you on there's a lot of structure to it. You're not just sitting there for 8 days just like staring at the ceiling or something. No, there's a structure to it. But when Father Ryan, the other priest, the other legionary, and I got there to the retreat center to do our 8-day retreat, there was another priest that was there that was doing a 30-day silent retreat. That's the maxed out version. You do like once in a life, maybe twice or something like that. And when we got there, he was on day 22. So his last 8 days lined up with our last days. Now, when I went into the chapel for the first time, I knew there was another priest. His name was Father Yusuf, or Joseph would be there, but Yusuf, he was from Lebanon. I found out later he worked in tech in Canada for a while, discovered his vocation. He'd like run a nightclub or something like that. He was a wild man, but then ended up becoming a priest, and then was currently working in Nicaragua. And so he was taking a break from that to do this retreat. So I knew there's this other priest that's there in the retreat center, but I didn't know who it was. Whatever, yeah, we're all here doing the same thing. He's in silence, we're in silence, and you just don't talk, or whatever. So I go into the chapel, And there, up in the front, kind of like here, where it'd be like if someone was kneeling at the front pews up here in the beam, there was Father Yosef. And he was so wrapped in prayer. It was like, it almost like made me stop in my tracks. Like, there's such a special thing happening here. I don't want to distract him. I hope I didn't make too much noise coming in. Because in a certain way, even from behind, you could see he was radiating, glowing in a way. It's just this connection with God was just, now he'd been doing this for 22 days already in silence and in prayer, 6, 7, 8 hours in the chapel, and he'd talk every day with his spiritual director and doing this beautiful retreat. But it was like his whole being was connected to God. You could tell that just looking at the back of his head, it was that strong. It was that amazing, that powerful. Of course, then that motivated me, and like I wanted to say, okay, all right. I want to be like that. I want to be like Father Yosef. And so it just motivated me to pray all the more and just really like leave everything behind, just focus on the one thing necessary for life and peace and goodness and joy and truth, and that is the Lord. And that's what you all have been doing these last 2 days. Now, because we're in silence, we weren't going to have a conversation halfway through on day 4 or something like that, but we'd pass each other like in the pathways outside, or he's coming into the chapel just as I'm leaving, and because he was like so full of joy, it's like you could see that he was struggling to like keep it in and not just burst out into a conversation. So who are you? And like who this is? Like you could see that was so filled up. He was so filled up with that. And just ready to talk. I mean, if you don't talk for 30 days, yeah, you're gonna want to talk too. But and so what he did is that he would smile. He would just look at me and just beam this smile at me that was just the most wonderful smile. It's like his whole soul was like coming out through it. It was transparent and it was light. Father Yosef. Forgive me for saying this. Father Yosef had never had braces, and you could tell. But somehow that made his smile all the better, even the imperfection in it. Because it's just the goodness of his heart coming out. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. I could tell just by looking at him in his eyes, his heart was pure. He could see God in his life, in his priesthood, see God there in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle. He would take about an hour and 15 minutes to celebrate Mass by himself, and there's no creed, there's no extra singing, there's just him and just him and the Lord. John, the one that wrote the gospel we're heard, also wrote 3 letters. The first letter of John, second letter of John, third letter of John. We got real creative in our names there. And in the third, excuse me, in the first letter, so John, throughout his gospel and also letters, he's constantly talking about love. Just love one another. As he's like quoting any time that Jesus was talking about love, he had that one down because he had also spent a whole lifetime in prayer like that. Also in ministry, of course. And so in this first letter of John, he says, we are God's children now. He's writing to baptized, believing Christians. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I think we talked about this here in a homily a couple weeks ago. We don't know what we are going to be like, but we do know that when he comes, we will be like him because we're seeing him the way he really is. I think Father Yosef was becoming, as he had his glimpse, he was already showing in him what we are going to become. At the end of the retreat, he finished up his 30 days, and we finished up our 8. And the normal form is that then you have dinner together and you have a conversation. And of course, that's where I found out about his nightclub life before he became a priest. And so, but then what I really wanted is, okay, Father Yusuf, you got to tell me what did God speak to you? So give me some of your insights from your retreat. And he just lit up again, because you could tell he was actually kind of getting lowered down by just ordinary talk about like where he's from and things like that. He says, yeah, that's nice. But then as soon as I asked him about like, what insights did you have? He said, also like he lights right back up and says, I just want to love God. God's just so good to me. He's into so much. I just want to love him with every ounce that I am. I want to give him my whole heart. Now, he's a priest, and it wasn't like he wasn't doing that before. It's not like he was a bad priest and now he's a good priest. No. He was a good priest before. I mean, I could tell just by the way the things he was doing in his life and his commitment, his religious life, I could tell that. He was a very good priest. But it's like the more he got closer to God, the more light he could see, and the more he was seeing the Lord, and the more it was changing, and the more joy that he had. And he could, it's almost like before, yeah, he could see, but now he could really see. It's not that he was totally blind before, but it's like there's even more mud cleared out of his eyes. And now he could really see. I think I did tell Father Yusuf, I'm going to pray for you, but even more, you pray for me. I want someone like you praying for me. He said, okay, I got you. This blind man here in John, he sees Christ before him. He sees him as he is, and it changes him. It gives him sight. And that generalized anxiety of not being able to see, we were talking about that in our talk earlier, this generalized anxiety of not being able to see, where am I going, where's God, what's he up to, when that gets cleared out of our eyes and we're seeing the Lord for who he truly is, it's just like there's this peace and this joy that starts to well up inside of us. First letter that we read, this is powerful. Brothers and sisters, Paul of the Ephesians, you were once darkness. That's like saying you're Darth Vader or something like that. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Maybe at this point in Lent, some of you aren't quite feeling like, I was darkness and now I'm light in the Lord. All you have to do is ask our Lord, Lord, I want to see. He might give you some instructions. Go wash your soul. And then you will have sight. Then you will be able to see. And as you see, we will begin to become like he is. For we will see him as he really is.